This is Sportscaster.com's Open Mic with Johnny Kane on 760 WJR, featuring sports commentary and stories brought to you by the most compelling rising stars in sports broadcasting. Here's your host, Johnny Kane.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, October the 22nd. My name is Johnny Kane with Sportscaster.com. And every week we come together on this program to highlight what our student broadcasters have put together as we do our best to canvas our entire listening area. Important stories that you might be familiar with and other stories that perhaps you're hearing about for the first time. So we cover professional sports in addition to what's happening on college campuses throughout the state. But often there's stories from the local level. And that's where we're going to start tonight, because there's a high school swimmer from West Bloomfield who's the number one swimming recruit in Michigan in the class of 2026. She's rewriting the state record books with six individual state titles to her name and a chance to add two more individual titles at the MHSAA state championships in November. Her name is Elizabeth Eichbrett. She's 17 years old. She's committed to Indiana University. And she and West Bloomfield coach Ronson Webster, they sat down with sportscaster's Lyric Sloan to discuss the mental work, the physical demands, where she draws her inspiration, and the importance of finding your people.
Okay, so Elizabeth, I want you to take me back to your early days in swimming. How did you start?
Well, my mom and my dad put me in lessons when I was six, and I did them at Lifetime, and then I joined the Lifetime club team with one of my best friends when we were eight, and I've been swimming on the team ever since.
So how long have you been swimming with Ronson?
9 years.
Yeah.
That's actually so special to have like such a good relationship with the coach.
We've been through a lot. It's been a roller coaster, but it's been a fun roller coaster.
Yeah, I want you to walk me through what your practice is like. What's your schedule like?
Well, we swim every day, except for the weekends. And if we're not, usually I swim meets on the weekends, but during high school season, we swim meets Tuesdays and Thursdays. And that's pretty much it.
What's your busiest time of the year?
Definitely girls' high school season, because of all like the dual meets and all the championship meets and stuff.
And how do you balance that? Because you're a senior in high school. How do you balance that?
You know, you as like, I guess like a student athlete, you have to learn how to manage your time properly, especially being at the level that I am at. It's kind of like a game. You do the things that need to get done when they need to get done. And then the other stuff can like hold off until they need to get done.
Now, Ronson, what is it like coaching Elizabeth?
It's a lot of fun. It's kind of the same as coaching everybody, but I mean, it's just great because we've been together for so long. She's a super hard worker. She's probably one of the hardest workers I've had the pleasure of coaching. It's been a lot of fun throughout the last couple of years. So,
Elizabeth holds so many records. As a coach, was there a moment where you knew that she could really have success?
When she was nine, she told me she wanted to swim with the older kids, and I told her no. And she's like, well, what if I beat them in this set? And I said, okay, sure. And then she went out there and did it, and I was like, jaw dropped. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, you still can't swim with them. But I knew she was destined for big things, because nobody goes out there and has the guts and the grit, you know, to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and never give up. So it's something every coach really wants. And I kind of knew something special when that happened when she was nine.
Now, I think that I've always said this, that I think swimming is one of the hardest sports because your main focus is speed, and in water, you're slower. So, Elizabeth, how do you think that swimming is so difficult?
It's a lot of mental work, I'd say, because it's like a team sport. Like, my team is all behind me right now. But the races you swim are individual races, so it takes a toll on you mentally, and that's probably the hardest part.
And how do you deal with the pressure of being such a top prospect?
You just kind of got to wing it, you know? Last year was a bit more of a struggle because I was going through the whole recruiting process and stuff. But this year it's gotten better.
Yeah, and now let's talk about your commitment. You're committed to Indiana. What stood out to you about making your verbal commitment?
I really liked the coaches and how they all seem to work really well together. And it fit for what I do now and what I want to continue to do in the future.
And is there anybody that inspires you?
Oh, there are a lot of people that inspire me. The three main people that inspire me were Kayla Decky, obviously, as she's like one of literally the female greats. I have almost like a little sister on our team. Her name is Ella, and her work ethic and her determination inspired me every day. Like yesterday when we were doing the 100s on the 130 and we didn't know what they were. So she goes, let's assume they're 500 pace. And I was like, let's not assume that. So she inspires me. And then one of my friend's moms was an athlete and she swam at the University of Arizona and she was so good. She has like all of these records. She was an NCAA All-American and she inspires me. Her name is Jenny McQuiston, Jenny Banker when she swam.
And does she ever give you advice?
Yes. She's one of the sweetest humans.
Yeah, that is so nice, especially because you're going to be entering a D1 level. So having somebody that's already had that experience, I feel like that would be such a good backbone for you to have throughout this whole process. Are you nervous to go out of state?
It's not that far.
Yeah, I was going to say Indiana's not that bad.
It's like 5.5 hour drive. I took a visit to Cal Berkeley and that was like a 5.5 hour flight.
What other schools have you visited for swimming?
I took Ohio State, Indiana, and Cal.
What do you like about the other schools?
I liked the resources at Ohio State. They have the biggest athletic department in the country. They know. They use it. It was absolutely phenomenal there. And I liked Cal. I liked being at Cal, and I liked the team and everything. But it came down to Indiana and Cal. But Cal was just so far.
Yeah. Who do you think has supported you the most throughout your whole career?
Definitely my parents, driving to all like the big meets and stuff, and Bronson for always being there.
So what do you hope that people remember about you, like leaving your high school career behind?
Probably being kind to everyone, no matter what like they do and how they do. Even after, like, if I had a bad race, I still turn to the person next to me and I'm like, good job. And that's probably the most important thing. And that's probably what I want to be remembered for.
And what's your biggest advice for young swimmers that might look up to you to get to your level? What advice would you give them?
Don't give up. I know swimming is a very individual sport sometimes, and it might seem like you're alone and you're not. There's always someone that you can reach out to. And find your people. There's so many people in the swim world, whether they are on your team, in your state, anywhere in the world. Keep in touch. They know what you're going through. They know how to talk to you. It's very nice.
And out of all the awards that you've won, which one, or records that you've broke, which one sticks out to you the most and why?
Okay, I have a funny one and I have a serious one. Sophomore year, my team gave me the Betty Crocker Paper Plate Award because I like to bake for the team.
Wait, what's your favorite thing to bake?
I make a lot of cookies because I feel like cakes are such a hassle. Like, I hate frosting cake. It just makes me mad. And I'd say...
State record you just broke?
Yeah, I guess. But I broke a pool record at Oakland University in February in the 200 free. And I'd say that one holds the most meaning to me because it proved that after like a long down, you know, like I was actually still improving and I still have a lot more to give.
And what kind of goals do you still have left for yourself?
Oh, well, I still have another state record to go. We got the one. Now I need the second one. And then just to have fun and enjoy these last moments with my team.
So now we're just going to play a little game. I'm just going to do like a rapid fire this or that questions. And you're just going to say the first thing that comes to mind. Early morning practice or late night meet?
Late night meet.
200 freestyle or 500 freestyle?
Ooh.
Don't think, just say it.
500 free.
Sprint sets or distance sets?
Depends on the day. Usually more distance sets.
Butterfly or backstroke?
Butterfly. No brainer.
Winning by 1 second or breaking a record?
Breaking a record.
Swimmer tan lines or goggle marks?
Swimmer tan lines.
Olympic gold medal or NCAA championship ring?
NCAA championship ring.
Perfect start or perfect finish?
Perfect finish.
And if you weren't swimming, what sport do you think that you'd be good at?
Track and field.
Okay, well, Elizabeth, I wish you the best of luck. Thank you so much for coming on the interview. Coach Ronson, thank you.
Well, that's a glimpse into the life of a high-level high school athlete, four-time state champion in the 200 and 500-yard freestyle, Elizabeth Eichbrecht from West Bloomfield High School. Incredible story. Sportscaster.com's Lyric Sloan conducted that interview, and she joins us now on Open Mic. Lyric, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
Hey, great interview, by the way, with Elizabeth.
Yeah, just to paint the picture for you, we get up on the Zoom. She turns her camera on. I think every interview that I've conducted, people are sat down at a table at home. She turns on her camera in her swimsuit in the pool area with her coach, goggles on, swim cap on. There's people diving. You can hear them splashing in the water. It was insane, but that really just shows the commitment that Elizabeth has to her sport. She's taking the time in between practices just to be in this interview. I mean, probably after that interview was over, she's jumping right back in the water. It was incredible. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's the good stuff, you know? It's like the total dedication. You're like, do I have time to do an interview? You're like, well, I've got 5 minutes before I got to plunge back in. Yeah, we can do it, you know? Yeah. So she was pretty heavily recruited, right? Indiana is a good swim program, but she basically could have gone wherever she wanted or no?
Yeah, I mean, I asked her what stood out to Indiana for her, and it was funny. She had a little sentence where she said that she really could have gone anywhere she wanted. She loved Indiana because it was really close to home for her, and she knows a couple people at nearby schools that are going there as well, and she loves the coaches and the program. So I think it's awesome for her. She also was thinking about going to a school in California, and she said it was way too far. So she's really excited to go to Indiana. She has a really bright future.
Yeah, incredible. And obviously, we wish her well at the state championships next month. And then certainly as she furthers her career swimming in the Big Ten at IU. Speaking of Big Ten, Lyric Sloan, you're a student at Michigan State University. And the boys are going through it a little bit right now with respect to football. Spartans still looking for the first Big Ten win of the season. And they've got Michigan coming to town on Saturday. What's the vibe like in East Lansing, Michigan right now?
I mean, that's a good question. I would say freshman year, I'm a junior. So every other year we alternate. One's in Ann Arbor, one's in East Lansing. So this year it's going to be in East Lansing. There are going to be so many people in East Lansing. So many people. But, you know, there's good traditions. I know that everyone guards the Spartan statue because we don't want anybody painting it maize and blue. So that's fun. There's going to be a lot of chirping. Michigan's coming off of a win against the Washington Huskies, and they were 5-1. But if you remember during the show that we did a couple months ago, it was all about rivalries. You never really know in a rivalry game. So I'm excited. And also Coach Jerome Moore, Michigan, he said sometime earlier this week that this is their biggest game of the season. So lucky for you, they're cutting out Ohio State.
So you mentioned you're a junior. I remember when I was graduating high school. So I'm from Ohio. For some of the listeners that may not know it, I thought that maybe I was going to go to Ohio State. So I'm from Ohio, but I also applied to Michigan State, but I ended up not going there. There's nothing against Michigan State, but I just decided from a cost standpoint to stay within the state of Ohio. And a lot of my friends and obviously a lot of great broadcasters that have come from MSU. And I do have ties to University of Michigan as well. I'm just curious, since I didn't, you know, I only grew up 100 miles from Detroit, so it's not like I'm not familiar with the area, but, you know, it was different. So Ohio State's biggest rival was always Michigan. Like, there was no 1A, 1B. It was just like, oh, yeah, the Michigan game. It was the game. So as a Michigan State student, is this the game? Like you said, Sharon Moore said that, you know, this is their biggest game. Is it your biggest game circled every year? Is it the Michigan game, or are there other games where you're like, yeah, well, the Michigan game would be fun, but...
That's a good question. I would say on paper, yes, it's our biggest game. But I think the talent of our team, I think USC was a really big testament to the talent of our team at that time. It was our first conference game, and it was going to be a testament to the talent of our team, and we lost that game. So did Michigan.
Right.
But yeah, on paper, yes, it's the biggest game. But I think we need less turnovers. Our defense needs to get better coverage. But overall, yeah, it's our biggest game. And there's going to be at least 100,000 people on campus, if not more, tailgating from 6 a.m. to who knows when.
I think my freshman year, I went to Ohio University, so we were green and white as well. But I think we only won the one game like my freshman year. And, you know, it's tough because when there's not a strong college football environment, when you go to a bigger school, like obviously Ohio U's in the Mid-American Conference, but when you go to a Big Ten school, you want to have something to lean on. So some of our sportscasters, or even like Elizabeth, who you just interviewed, you know, she's going to IU at Indiana. They've just shown that you can win at a high level at places like Bloomington. And obviously, we've seen it in the past, Michigan State. You can win in East Lansing. I just wonder what the college experience, how it differs from when you're in a window of, say, like the Mark D'Antonio years at Michigan State, where it was like, hey, every Saturday was appointment viewing, as opposed to right now, where they're kind of going through it a little bit. I mean, you only have it to measure against your time there, but is it still a college football campus on Saturdays, or are people saying, hey, when is Izzo and the boys, you know, when's practice gets going?
I mean, our hockey team, we're number one right now, so early on in the season, but still great hockey team. We just beat the number one team, Boston College. So that's cool. And then basketball team's good. I think our team was so good last year because we had such good chemistry. We're also really good at volleyball too. So, I mean, it's interesting. Michigan State actually dominates in a lot of sports, just not football. And maybe there'll be some coaching changes after this game.
Yeah, well, you just never know. I think for both sides, for Michigan, I think that they need this win. I think Michigan State needs the win. It's not hyperbole. I think, you know, both of these programs, like, feel like this is one where they can get right. All right, so let me just ask you, you don't have to give me a score prediction here, but Michigan State, Michigan, Saturday night, give me your realistic, don't give me the, I'm a student at this school. If you had to guess who's going to win on Saturday, who's it going to be?
Don't hate me, Spartans. The Wolverines are going to take this game. They're just talent of the team. It's just, Bryce Underwood's only a freshman, and he's able to knock down some bigger opponents that we couldn't even think about knocking down. It is a rivalry game, but I do have a score prediction. I think it's going to be 28-7.
Okay.
What do you think?
All right. You know what? That's a good question. I'm going to give it to the home team. Why not? Go green, go white. I think it'll be a good game. I think it will be competitive. And as Jonathan Smith said, you know, earlier in the week, you know, he said, we want to, you know, kind of galvanize the fuel and bring some momentum into this game. I think that the energy in East Lansing, I've been to games there. They need this one. I think the coaching staff needs it. I think the students need it. And it's no knock on Michigan, but I'll say, you know, give it to the home team, Spartans, this week. That's my pick. Lyric Sloan, always appreciate having you on the show. Great job with the interview with Elizabeth Albrecht, the top-rated swimmer in the state of Michigan, who's headed to Indiana University next year. Good luck to your team on Saturday, Lyric, and always good chatting with you. Our next guest is somebody I consider a good friend of mine, also a coworker of mine. We have the privilege of calling Detroit Pistons basketball for FanDuel Sports Network. George Blaha in his 50th season calling the Pistons, but also does a tremendous job with Michigan State football, been the voice of the Spartans going back to 1971. And obviously a big game coming up on Saturday night. The 25th ranked Wolverines come in 5-2, 3-1 in the Big Ten. Michigan State at 3-4, 0-4 in the Big Ten Conference. So a big game for both of these teams. And George, first of all, thanks for being on the show. And I think maybe regardless of the records, no matter what, when these two schools come together, it's appointment television.
Well, it's a football party for all the college football fans in the state. And Mark D'Antonio, I think, said it best. Even if you didn't go to either one of these schools, everybody in Michigan is either green and white or maize and blue. And all roads are going to lead to East Lansing on Saturday. I'm afraid to get caught in a crush myself. I better leave early, although the Pistons are coming home from a game in Houston the night before. By the way, the game will be on WJR Radio, the great voice of the Great Lakes.
That's it. That's it, man. Hey, speaking of that, I know your travel schedule, obviously, you know, when you're holding two titles there, you know, the voice of and the voice of, your travel schedule can be tough to maneuver from time to time.
If it were just a so-so game, it'd be one thing, but I think you got to get there early for this one. I remember one time I had a Piston-Orlando Magic game the night before, and I flew commercial to Metro Airport, and Will Tiemann and Wendy Hart, who owned the broadcast rights at that time, got a helicopter for me, and it landed on Harrison Road near the state police post when it was there. It's not there anymore, unfortunately. But coming in on that chopper, looking down at that stadium at about 11:30, all you could see was a packed stadium and thousands of people hanging out outside, all dressed in their school colors, either yellow and blue or green and white. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's the pageantry. I mean, I know you love college football. You're a student of the game, and obviously you've had the privilege of covering it for so long. It's going to be a special atmosphere, no question about it. And I think when you look at this game, you know, you don't want to say here in week four, or week five, you know, that these are must-win games for either program. But certainly, you know, under the direction of Coach Smith at Michigan State, you know, if you were able to get your first Big Ten win, if it were to come against your rival, like a team like Michigan, that could go a long way. Where do you feel like the Spartans would have an opportunity, maybe a strength of theirs that maybe you saw in the second half against IU that they could carry into this one?
Well, I think you're looking at Aiden Childs and Nick Marsh, the great receiver who went to River Rouge High School, and those are the primary offensive weapons for Michigan State. And, you know, Bryce Underwood is a great young quarterback at Michigan, but he probably doesn't have quite the ability for this Saturday as Aiden does because he hasn't played as much, and he's a true freshman. However, last week in his game against Washington, he was 21 for 27 for 230 and two TDs. Aiden Childs was 27 for 33 for 243 yards, and he also ran the ball reasonably well. I think Michigan probably has an advantage in a running game, but Childs can perhaps neutralize that a little bit because he is a dangerous guy. Sometimes he scrambles to pass, sometimes he scrambles to run.
Gotcha. When I look at this matchup, is there a memory that stands out? Is there a game that stands out to you perhaps you know, over the last couple of decades that you kind of marked that game and said, man, that was something to see?
Well, I think Nick Saban's first game against Michigan, he beat him in the closing seconds with a pass to Nigeria Carter. Years later, the Spartans won when the Wolverines botched the snap back to the punter. And the punter, O'Neill, had been the reason Michigan was ahead the whole game, but he'll now be forever the go to that game. And, you know, Michigan made a little bit of a mistake, whether they want to admit it or not. The Spartans put all 11 guys up. They were going after it, and they still had two gunners to go down the field. So it was a little bit of a tactical advantage for Mark D'Antonio when he said, let's just go after it. Let everybody go. But I also remember a pass with 1 second left from Jeff Smoker to T.J. Duckett. The Spartans are coming down the field against Michigan, trying to get the winning score. And every time they'd go to throw the ball to one of their receivers, the Wolverines were guilty of interference, and they interfered us all the way down to the goal line. And there was another game that I thought was special, and that was when Bill Burke threw for 400 yards against Michigan, and they finally brought this young kid named Tom Brady off the bench, and Michigan darn near came back to win. We all should have noticed at that point in time this guy was like a one of a kind.
Yeah.
But it was a great game.
Yeah. Well, that's good stuff, man. So it's nice to think back on you know, some of those years, some of those great games. And you do never know. I remember that with the botched snap. I remember a buddy of mine was at the game and left, you know, with like a minute to go in the game and was heading back to his car. And then, of course, they had trouble with the snap, you know, and all he hears is the roar from inside the stadium, which is a good lesson. Never leave a game early.
College football is like that. Yeah. And, you know, everybody wants to celebrate their win, and they're just crestfallen to lose that way. Remember the kid with the funny look on his face in the crowd?
Oh, yeah.
I can't think of his name, but he became sort of famous because they got a shot of him, and that went viral.
Yeah, exactly. You couldn't believe what he just saw either. There's a lot of our students that are involved in the Sportscaster program that have aspirations of doing sideline work or doing, you know, play-by-play or maybe analyst work as well. When you go into your preparation for, and I looked at your boards actually earlier this week, when you build out your football boards, when you look at like the time and attention and detail, how important is that aspect of your job? You obviously have a great voice and you're able to rise to meet the moment, but how much is preparation into making sure you've got it all buttoned up as best you can before you put that headset on Saturdays?
I don't know about the voice, that's a nice compliment, but I'll tell you this, you have to be prepared and you have to do all the little extra things to make sure you're up to speed on both teams. And if you're working in a bank and you're counting $5 bills or something, it gets monotonous. But if you're doing this and you're interested in this particular sport, it's not work.
Right.
It's fun. And you're finding information. Oh, I didn't know that. And now it's in front of you, and it'll be in front of you on Saturday when you need it. So you absolutely have to do your homework.
Yeah, I know you always put in the time, put in the effort, and it's a joy being able to, you know, sit behind you or sit next to you from time to time and watch you put in the work because, like you said, the preparation, it's a privilege to be able to call these games, and obviously...
Oh, it is, and you better take it seriously. As much fun as it is, you got to do your job to the best of your ability, and just like you do. We don't call you Smooth Johnny for nothing. It seems like, well, smooth, he doesn't have to work at it. This guy works very hard at it.
Well, I appreciate that, man. I appreciate it. And that was the nickname that you had given me, so I appreciate that. I look forward to catching the game on Saturday, as you mentioned. 7:30 kick Saturday night from East Lansing. The game would be broadcast on radio, on WJR, and also on television on NBC. And have a great 50th season in the NBA as well. Appreciate having you on, George.
Great being with you, Johnny. Keep up the great work.
A reminder to stop by Jack's Car Wash and treat your vehicle to the care it deserves. With over 50 locations across Michigan, you're never far from a clean car. Right now, you can score a free wash. Just visit wlink.live/sportscaster. That's WLINK.live/sportscaster to redeem and experience the Jack's difference for yourself. Well, we have reached the end of the road, as they say. Week 9, high school football. Last week of the regular season, which is wild to even think about. But we've gotten here. Obviously, the boys have gone out every week, played hard on a week-to-week basis. And we here at sportscaster.com have partnered with WJR to bring you the high school football game of the week every Friday night. And this week, for the final game of the regular season, it will be Pinckney against Ann Arbor Pioneer. Giovanni here to break down this week's matchup.
My name is Giovanni Moscheri, and at least for one more week, I could say that I am your host of Drive to the Game. As we have reached the sunset of our Michigan high school football regular season coverage here on Drive to the Game, as this is the final week before we get ready for the playoffs. It brings us to Ann Arbor, as Ann Arbor Pioneer hosts Pinckney in the final week of the regular season. Two programs under the tutelage of first-year head coaches with very familiar ties to their respective programs, and two teams looking to find greater success in the next season and looking for this one to be the foundation setter for that future success. We'll get into all of that, all the storylines, all the players to watch out for, and what we can expect to see here on Drive to the Game. Our pregame show is at 6:50 Friday night, exclusively on our YouTube channel, before we kick things off at 7 p.m. on WJR, while staying on Sportscaster as well as our YouTube channel. We'll get into all of that here in the preview. We'll begin with the Pinckney Pirates. So Pinckney has had a pretty rocky season, to say the least. They come into this game after getting their first win of the season under their new head coach, Buck West. They come into this one 1-7. And 0-6 in their SEC White Conference, their Southeastern Conference. Well, no, Southeastern Michigan, that is. Just want to clarify for those who see SEC and their eyes widen. Not college, we're here in high school in Michigan. And their first win comes in a bit of an unusual fashion. Usually you don't see 62 points scored in the first win of a regular season, the first win under a new head coach, but that's exactly what happened last week as the Pirates took on Carleton and took home their first victory, 62-23, the most points scored at Pinckney High School in the past 33 years. It takes us back to 1992, to put it in a calendar's perspective. A great win, a great way to kick off the program here. We'll get into the story in the background of their new head coach, Buck West. Only 28 years old, he is a former University of Michigan Wolverine, a walk-on onto Jim Harbaugh's program, playing for the Wolverines from 2015 to 2019, helping build that program towards their eventual national championship in 2023, but we're all quite familiar with that itself. He was Pinckney's record-setting quarterback back in his day of playing at the starting position of quarterback from 2011 to 2013, where he set the career record for passing yards with 3,459, as well as passing touchdowns, 31 in his career as a Pirate. He also holds the record for the single season of those such stats with 1,999 passing yards in 2013, as well as tying for the most passing touchdowns in that season with 19. So if their future quarterback can just get 2,000 yards and 20 passing touchdowns even, a very nice and pretty number for the record board, then that would be sweet. And that quarterback for the future would be junior quarterback Jax Raymond, who, at least according to my research, unfortunately suffered an injury in week 3 in the preseason. He was predicted to be the one to surpass his new head coach's records in a junior season, much of which being taken away from him will make that a little bit more difficult, but still a great quarterback so far. Already 2,521 yards as he's had a few starts in his freshman season as well as all of it in his sophomore season. Over 2,500 passing yards and 24 touchdowns in those two seasons. He is still on pace and still has a chance at those career records, although it will be more difficult. But they still have a ton of talent on their team. And in last week's game, in their victory over Carleton, again, 62 points scored, they had plenty of players to be spotlighted, one of which is a stat line that may sound familiar to many, a Randy Moss-like stat for wide receiver Max Barish, where in that game, he had 3 receptions for 163 yards and 3 touchdowns. He was their varsity offensive player of the week. And on the defensive side, Oliver Wendell, 11 total tackles, 2 interceptions, and one of those interceptions coming back for a touchdown, putting his stamp on the high scoring event. Again, the most in 33 years at Piccaninny High School. So definitely some talent on that team. Although it is worth mentioning that the team that they face has a struggling defense. They give up about 57 points per game, so a 62-point win does fall about average for Carleton's defense. But still, regardless of the opponent you play, the confidence that is gained in a game like this, in a season where you came into it 0-7, any win you can get is something that's going to be cherished, something that's going to be celebrated in that locker room, and that brings in a lot of momentum into their game against Ann Arbor Pioneer. So don't disregard it, but still context is necessary for that game. And a similar kind of context can be applied to the Ann Arbor Pioneer side, where last week they were instead on the wrong side of a 60-plus point loss, this time to near top of the conference, Dexter. 69-19 was the final score against Dexter, who is currently 5-1 in the conference and 7-1 overall, and one of the top teams in the state. So definitely a good team to be played against, but this brings up now one more chance for Pioneer to get momentum coming into their next season. Ann Arbor has been into the playoffs their past 2 years with a 5-5 and 6-4 record. This year, right now, as mentioned, a 2-4 conference record and a 3-5 overall record is where that puts them for the season. Very unlikely that they'll be into the playoffs, so it'll be up to first-year head coach Steve Simpson to get them back into it for next year. And it's these last games of the regular season that many of the students on the team do remember during the offseason, during their practices, during their development into the next season. Sometimes you remember something by the way it ended. And for Pioneer, at home behind the shadows of the Big House, they want to make sure that that is a great memory that can be leading into next year's, hopefully, future success. And for Steve Simpson, first-year head coach here, is very familiar with the program. As a former assistant to the varsity team, also a former head coach of the JV team, this was the only head coaching job that he applied to last offseason because this school is very close to him, having family ties. His wife and his children attend the school or have attended the school, and it puts that in a very special place in his heart, this being the only place that he wanted to coach, according to him. But he's not the only coach in recent years that has been hired. He is part of a coaching carousel, as Ann Arbor Pioneer has been looking for their steady leadership to lead their program to long-term success. Simpson stands as the fourth head coach hired in the past 6 years for Pioneer. So this season being his first foundational year, this could be the last stamp on it to prove that this is something that Ann Arbor is going to want to continue with. To have that kind of consistent leadership and consistent success of the program, a win like this can serve very well into that as they continue to find that success. Two of the past 3 years, they have been in the playoffs with a 5-5 and then 6-4 record in the past 2 seasons. They want to get back into the playoffs for next season. And they'll have a senior quarterback that can help them get there. Currently, junior quarterback Cole Hayes sits as the top junior athlete in all the Ann Arbor area, as voted recently, ahead of a second place finish for Pioneer swimmer Surin Lee. As Ann Arbor Pioneer not only has a great football program and other athletic programs, but their girls swim program is very dominant and one of their top programs at the school there. So I want to give a shout out to their swim program. As a former swimmer myself, I always like to give a shout out to those in the pool. So that sets us up here at Ann Arbor Pioneers. They host the Picayune Pirates to finish off our Drive to the Game coverage of Michigan High School football this season. It's been a wild ride. It's going to be great. It's going to be the Pioneers. It's going to be the Pirates. And the final game of the regular season in Ann Arbor. My name is Giovanni Moscheri, and I will see you there.
Again, Friday night, Pinckney against Ann Arbor Pioneer. Final game of the high school football regular season. Look forward to seeing you back here on WJR on Friday for that game. And, of course, next week we will see you back here for open mic on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Do want to thank all our guests from today. Giovanni Moscheri does such a nice job for us with our high school football coverage. I want to thank Elizabeth Albrecht from West Bloomfield High School, the top-ranked swimmer in the state of Michigan, who has big sights on potentially two more first-place finishes at the state championship meet coming up next month. Thanks to Lyric Sloan, sportscaster from Michigan State University, who did that interview. And our thanks to the voice of the Spartans on radio, George Blaha. Big game coming up this weekend in East Lansing. It is Michigan State. It is Michigan. Who do you like? It's up to you. All right. We look forward to seeing you again next week here on Open Mic. I'm your host, Johnny Kane. Until next time, Godspeed.